Jessica, I brought you all the way to the other end of the Surrey Hills today to meet Matt Cusack, who's our lead ranger down here. And so on Matt's patch, he's looking after Devil's Punch Bowl at Hindhead and the Whitley Common and Frensham Little Pond. And a lot of this big tranche of land is heathland. Anyway, I can see him here now. Matt, hello.
Hi, morning. Morning, both.
Morning.
So tell us a little bit about why do we bother with heathland?
Yeah, heathland, I mean, it's rarer than the rainforest. I mean, we all think about the rainforest being really, really rare. But heathland here in Surrey, we've got a lot of it, so people think it's not rare at all. But actually, we've lost about 85, 90% of heathland since the First World War. So it's quite a rare thing.
Can you describe for me just quickly what heath looks like?
So heath, a lot of people think of heathland as heather, and that's quite correct. But it's also heather, it's scrub, it's gorse, it's sort of trees going through all the stages. So we're looking at sort of some lower shrubby heath. And in the distance, we've got some sort of invasive scrub coming in. That's the birch and the pine. And those, it's a constantly moving thing. We always think of it a bit like painting the fourth bridge. So it's always transitioning from heathland. Ultimately it wants to go to woodland, but it's that lovely transition where birds can get things like green fly or the, you know, all the aphids and things on those growing trees. So we do like a bit of scrub and we do love the heather, and it's having that balance of the two really that we need.
So if the heathland is constantly changing, how come it's here in the first place?
So if you can imagine casting your mind or thinking about it, 3,000-4,000 years ago, most of the UK was covered in timber, the wild woods as we call it. So it would have been high forest. Man came in, he cleared areas. Now he would have been using flint axes and things, very, very primitive tools. So they would have cleared areas, and once they cleared an area, things like grasses would have grown, and they would have grazed animals, and those animals would have grazed and grazed and grazed, and those soils would have become really, really impoverished. So on, and that would have been, whether that was on sandy soils or chalk soils, that all would have been the same. And what's happened is we've got such depleted nutrients in the soil here that the heather's about the only thing that grows.
So when you say it's rare now and it's diminishing, well, why is that a bad thing, or do we? Because I would have thought we wanted more trees anyway.
And we do love trees, but actually, when you think of things like carbon capture, the smaller the tree, so in other words, really young growing trees, they really capture carbon really fast. And if we can turn that, the trees that we have growing on the heath, if we can cut those down to get the heathland back and keep the heathland going, if we can use those, I don't know, the wood chips for biofuels, all those sorts of things, then that's a really good way of capturing that carbon.
Gosh. So you made reference to how some of the birds would eat, say, green fly and things. Does this location particularly favour certain birds then?
Yeah, so where we're stood on Whitley Common, we've got the famous three, as it were, the Dartford, the Woodlark and the Nightjar. I was out here a year or two back with the nightjars, and I came, I was wandering around, and I came across a little nightjar nest, just two small chicks, very, very hard to see, and often a lot of people. So that's why in the sort of bird nesting season, we ask for people to put their dog on a lead, because if they come across these chicks,
yeah,
They wouldn't know they were there, the dog necessarily wouldn't know they were there, but mum and dad know they're there, and they would actually abandon the nest. So those two chicks would die, would starve on the nest, because mum and dad think this is too risky. So even if your dog doesn't come back with a nightjar in its mouth, it could have actually killed those two chicks, because they will just abandon the nest. So that's why during the months of sort of March to August, we always ask that people visiting these lovely places to keep their dogs on a lead, just to help the chicks, really.
Of course.
Wow.
Tell us about the Dartford Warbler, because isn't that quite a coup to have one of them?
It's quite famous, but I've never seen one to my knowledge.
Yeah, and I've been here 28 years and only seen a handful. They're quite a little elusive bird. They hate snow. They hate deep snow.
Ah.
And we had a big freeze back in, I think it was 2009, and that wiped out all the Dartford Warblers locally. So gradually they're coming back. You think, crikey, now we're another sort of 12-13 years later, and numbers are getting back up to where they were in 2009. I just hope this winter is kind, because they do this sort of boom bust population. It's quite savage, really, but very specific on heathland. So
what do they feed on?
It is seeds and little insects. You can imagine the winter months aren't great givers of either of those two. So once you start getting 2 or 3 inches of snow on the ground, as we do at Hindhead most years, that really does, you know, they just end up starving, poor things. They do like gorse. So gorse creates quite a decent thatch, if you like, it stops that snow getting all the way down to the ground, so they can scratch around the bottom. So, as I say, it's not just all about the heather. It is gorse, it is scrub. It needs to be what we always call a mosaic of different habitat types within a habitat, different types of vegetation.
And you have all that here.
We have all that here, yeah. We even go even further. So we have bare ground.
Yes.
So, you know, we would create woodlark, what we call woodlark scrapes. And that's good for bugs and beasties, all the invertebrates. That's good for the reptiles. It's good for the nesting woodlarks, where they can have the shelter of the longer, taller heath next to a short bit, so they can take, you know, mum and dad can take the babies out into the short heath to feed, but happily get back into the long heath for a bit of protection from the elements and from the predators. So, you need this whole thing, short grass, long grass, just throw it all in there. It's been here for, as I say, about 3,000 years. We need to keep it going for another 3,000, would be nice. So it's not even decades. It could even be centuries and millennia that we're keeping this going for.